to this unfortunate happening over the next couple of weeks. And we're going to find out more about maybe just lax oversight on building in general. And hopefully it's going to clean up, if any cleanup is necessary in the industry. But yeah, if there's a problem, it needs to be fixed. It could be people living in those houses that could also be killed. How did they build the houses and the developments before that? Did they build it in the same way? Let's just assume that something malfunctioned. Could those other stuff that they built, could that also malfunction? Could somebody's life literally be jeopardized by the construction techniques? Luyanda BIBC Council spokesperson for Labour joins us on the line. It's great to have you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
You will understand that there's a lot of interest in what's going down in George. Are you able to make sense of it in the early days?
I do understand and hear from the media of what is happening in George. But unfortunately, at this point in time, one would not want to comment and make public comments as a spokesperson of the BIBC, because that's not our space. Basically, I am a spokesperson of the BIBC, not in the space of the Southern Cape. Fully aware that there is a BIBC there, but it is a non-existent BIBC, which is voluntarily. So I wouldn't want to comment at that, but would leave to the snippets of information coming out and update and let people make up their mind.
Did you say a non-voluntary? I didn't understand
that. I'm saying it's a voluntary bargaining council. It's very different to the bargaining council I'm representing right now.
Let us understand that, because some people are taking aim at the BIBC already. Yes. They're saying you don't have a presence in the other provinces. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true. The fully functioning bargaining council, I might be wrong, it's only in the one that is in the that I'm representing right now in the Western Cape. But if in the Cape Metro and so on, but the one in George, which I know their offices are in George, it's a voluntary and there is no enforcement of whatsoever.
What would your role be in the construction sphere?
Can you repeat that question?
What is the role of the Building Industry Bargaining Council in the construction industry? What role do you play?
The role that we play is the role of making sure that we level the playing field. Let me start there. Because we would have negotiations happening in the council, where the employers are represented by the employer organization, and the employees are represented by the trade union, right? The industry on itself, it's very difficult to organize if you were to organize it on plant level and deal with individual employees. But when you have a bargaining council, which is a victory to us, to have such, is to make sure that the role players can come under one roof and make sure that whatever is provided equally to everyone. And there is no one that takes the bread out of the table, because he then gets to be cheaper than the other employers. Or he then gets to cut corners and not give the benefits of to employees that are supposed to be given by other employers. You take, for instance, employees out there, many do not have a benefit called pension or provident fund. Let's use pension fund right now, because that's the more popular thing that is we are going to. Pension fund. Now, those pension funds are contributions made by employers and employees, but if you were not to have a bargaining council in this industry, you would still not have a pension fund.
Okay, so
you get my point.
So I can't be talking about what kind of benefits those workers, construction workers, that are buried in the rubble at that site are going to enjoy from the from the Building Industry Bargaining Council, from your organization, because they may not be members thereof, right?
We, first and foremost, the BIBC that you are talking to is not operating in the George space.
I understand that. Okay, and you said that is a voluntary... I want to understand
that. That one there, it's a voluntary BIBC. The one that we are talking to now, he has got the main, the collective main agreement signed and endorsed by government.
Okay, this is a construction industry initiative in the Western Cape itself. Is that correct? Is the BIBC an organ created by a collective within the construction industry?
Yes.
Okay.
BIBC is an act of law. All you need to do is to form a bargaining council if parties agree to it, and then you go through the processes of making sure that it's lawful and it's endorsed by government.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, but
by government.
Okay, so somebody's actually saying, just a heads up ahead of your interview, the BIBC is another bloated government bureaucracy that targets established construction companies to pay money each month based on the number of employees. Is that correct?
I would have a total different view to that. In fact, I would have a view that says a person that would make that kind of statement would be somebody that do not understand the role of the BIBC, as I've explained to you, and it's somebody that wants to make sure that they maximize profit at the expense of the employees. And I would make an example of George at this point in time, but I would let you make your mind up.
Yeah, but there's no other comparison in the country, according to another WhatsApp. In it reads, ask your BIBC guest why the BIBC is only in the Western Cape. Every other province has realized that the BIBC model doesn't work and is a waste of money which cripples reputable construction companies. How would you respond to that one?
I can answer to that to say that that question fits very well to the Department of Labor, number one. Why I'm saying to the Department of Labor, it's because when the Department of Labor doesn't make sure that employees that are employed in this country are registered employees, and if they are registered employees in the sense that they've got necessary papers to be in this country and have the necessary competencies to do the work in the industry. Obviously, if you are undocumented, if you are undocumented and have no ID to start with, or necessary papers to work in this country, even if you are from outside, I've got no problem with people coming from outside as long as they've got necessary papers. You would have necessary competencies to do the work. So the main issue here is that, in fact, in the previous interviews I've mentioned that most of unregistered employers use the undocumented employees. That's the reality. And in doing so, they're taking advantage of their vulnerability because those people can accept anything. You would find them working with their own clothes, wearing techies in the construction sector, hanging high up on the sky with no safety equipment in place. Obviously, those people would also be agreeing to run away from the trade unions, or should they join trade unions, they will be dismissed the following morning. So the question lies squarely on the department on not making sure that undocumented employees are not being exploited by the employers.
Okay, so let's just ask the question again. The Building Industry Bargaining Council, it does not only exist in the Western Cape as a mandatory entity.
It doesn't.
Okay, so it's only in the Western Cape.
It doesn't. In the Western Cape, the only difference is that we are still recognized and gazetted by government. Our main agreement is gazetted.
Okay.
And therefore, we are able to go around and enforce what is being negotiated in the bargaining council.
But if it's a law, doesn't apply. You said it's a law that brings you into being. Why doesn't it apply to other provinces?
Let me put it this way. If I say it's voluntary, the bargaining council in that area or in other areas, it would mean that even if the law of this country are so good, but there would be no agents as we have here in the bargaining council in this side, as we have here, there would be no agents that go around and sit with that. There is enforcement, there is health and safety, there is training, and people are paid accordingly.
Okay, so you're saying that is not happening in other parts of South Africa?
It doesn't happen in other parts of South Africa. It doesn't. You would find employers coming from Johannesburg and come and operate in this side of town.
In the Western Cape because of that protection.
Yes.
I hear what you're saying. We're going to continue this conversation. There's a couple of calls in for you as well, Luanda Mkamko. We'll continue this conversation. Maybe you have a question for the BIBC Council spokesperson for Labour, the Building Industry Bargaining Council, may I add, so people in the industry would be familiar with the terms, and we need to play catch up fast. We think there's going to be a whole lot of focus on what went wrong in George, and I think a whole lot will be learned from that particular process. And our first stop is BIBC to find out how they could mitigate such events from happening. And you can share that perspective via WhatsApp on 0725671567. You can call on 0214460567. We're chatting with Luanda Mkamko. He is the BIBC Council Spokesperson for Labour. And I do have Edel on the line. He'd like to chat with you. Edel, welcome. It's good to have you.
Good morning, Clary, and the listeners. Well, I didn't want to speak to the gentleman there because I don't think any bargaining council has to do with safety on a building.
Absolutely.
And I think what your WhatsAppers have said prior to that, I think they just collect money. And they don't serve any purpose but to regulate wages. That's all they do. But I was going to speak about my speculation of what took place there, Clarence, if I may.
Sure.
Now, I must tell the listeners that this is mere speculation. And I've got a lot of experience of construction sites. And it all starts where plans are submitted. And in the case of where reinforced concrete is concerned, in this case, it's a multi-story building, you've got to have structural engineers' drawings, you've got to have the architect's drawings, etc., that is submitted to council.
That should be par for the course.
Absolutely. And then it is passed based on what is in those drawings or those plans.
And you say there's a spec for the concrete that comes with that process.
Absolutely, Clarence. Now, what happens is, I believe there's a basement and there's a car park on top of the basement.
Yeah, these are additions to the original plan that came through later. But, you know, I'm wondering if we shouldn't, Edel, leave the speculation for maybe when we get the Master Builders Association in. Let us wrap with this conversation with the BIBC, and then we're going to get you on the line when we have the necessary kind of control body in place to answer some questions and maybe deal with the allegation or possibility that you are proposing. Luanda, you are taking a lot of criticism, and I think it's always good for bargaining council, for especially disputes around salaries, to be sorted, and that is the role that you play. But people are writing here. One can never get hold of them either. Their website telephone numbers never get answered. Collect annual fees for no service to the contractor. Let us ask, just beyond your role in terms of addressing salary disputes, maybe. What responsibility do you have and do you show to workers that you seem to represent?
Firstly, maybe let me clear something out. The unfortunate part is that we're having this interview at a time where there is this very sad disaster that has happened in George. And unfortunately, I'm the spokesperson for the building industry of Cape of Good Hope, which is...
Let's leave George out of the equation. Luyanda, let's leave George out of the equation. We understand. Let's deal with some of the issues that have come through as a consequence. This one says, it took the BIBC 10 years to get my Provident Fund out of my ex-employer. So how are they an advantage to the employee? Can you answer that question?
And that question comes from the employer or the employee?
From the employee. He says it took the BIBC 10 years to get my Provident Fund out of my ex-employee. Yeah. So how are you an advantage to the employee? That's the question.
The truth of the matter is we do sit with those problems as the BIBC. Because employers do know where to find the employees on the time when they are employed, actively employed and working. But when they are dismissed, we get to be struggling to get information, to get where they are, because many of them are dismissed and leave immediately to the Eastern Cape. And it gets to be very difficult to be contacted. Right now, I do know that I'm sitting with two employees, in fact, which I've tried to contact myself, which is not my duty, really. And when you make follow-ups on certain information that is needed for him to get his money, you then get no network, you don't get connected.
Luyanda, just one other question. One other question. We are running out of time. We'd like to know if you are accountable to another statutory body or whatever. Maybe in simple form, who pays your salary?
No. I'm not paid by the BIBC. In fact, I'm the spokesperson of the BIBC. Being the counselor of the BIBC, I'm an appointed or employee of of the National Union of Mine Workers.
Okay.
And because the National Union of Mine Workers is going to sit in the bargaining council, we are then appointed to the bargaining council as counselors. But I'm paid by the National Union of Mine Workers.
I got you.
90% of my work is to do with labor as the trade unionist.
Last question. So the revenue that the BIBC gets, what does that go to?
It pays the agents that goes around to make sure that there is enforcement on site. It pays the administrators that administer the holiday fund that gets paid to the BIBC to be distributed at the end of the year to the employees. It pays the same administrators and the operations of the BIBC to administer those funds that are getting to be distributed.
Okay,
at the end of the year. The BIBC becomes the collector that distributes at the end of the year.
We've got to go to news, unfortunately, at the top of the hour, but there's quite a number of messages in. We've not been able to keep up with it. I'm going to be playing it out, Luyanda Kong. I would like you to listen to Cape Talk just after the news so you can get a sense where people's issues are at. I think then we'll all understand matters a little better.